Open your Bibles tonight. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to look at several verses and kind of lay a foundation on which we will build. And for at least tonight and probably the next time I speak on Wednesday night, I want to talk to you about developing your ability to minister. Ministry. A lot of people believe that, the minister is the preacher and that the ministry is what he does. And he does that for me. Churches fill up on Sunday morning. Well, I shouldn't say churches fill up. I don't know that any churches fill up or many churches fill up anymore. But it used to be people would come to church and the minister was going to preach to the people and somehow make it all better. And that was the idea that folks have of ministry. But the scripture doesn't indicate that that is the only ministry that there is. It is certainly a facet of what God would consider ministry. But I just put it to you tonight. Every Christian ought to be in the ministry. And if you're not, then I just want you to know you could not possibly be pleasing the Lord. So it is imperative that you and I, no matter whether we're called to a pulpit ministry or whatever it might be, and we'll look at a number of those ministries, we ought to understand that God did not save us to sit down and do nothing. Coming to church on Sunday morning doesn't get you a gold crown in heaven. Okay, that's what all Christians ought to do. But every Christian has the possibility, the potential, and the calling, I believe, of God to be involved somewhere, somehow, in a ministry. And sometimes we get confused. So Hebrews chapter 6, we're going to go to Hebrews 6 and then over to 1 Peter and then back to Acts and all around the way just to kind of get an idea or an understanding of what this word ministry or to minister really means. Is that the guy that stands behind the pulpit? Some churches he'd put on a black robe and a frock and a hat and all kind of stuff. And we'd say, well, that's the minister. Is that what God means when he talks about ministry? And certainly, I think if you don't know already, that's not what ministry is all about. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 10. Now in Hebrews, he's talking to who? Good deal. And is he talking to spiritual giants or people that are struggling? How do I know that? Well, there's a number of verses. One over there, he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, even so much the more as you see the day approaching. That verse alone would indicate that their strength was waning. There were some among them that had chosen just not to go to church. And the encouragement there among a number of others is don't do that. That's not profitable. But notice what he says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 10. To those this book is written to, he says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have, underline it, ministered to the saints and do minister. Now, may I ask you this? Were they all preachers? Were they all pastors? No, they weren't. This was a congregation of people. This was a group of believers and a group of believers that were struggling greatly. And in the midst of that struggle, he reminds them that God is faithful. God is watching, God is observing, and God sees. And in particular here, he sees not just the ministry of the preachers or pastors that are there. God sees your ministry as an individual. He is not unrighteous to forget what you're doing specifically in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. May I encourage you this evening to recognize that ministry is not something I do one time. Okay? This is something that I did, that I do, and I'm going to continue to do. It is a calling that continues. What is it that you do for the Lord on a continuing basis? Makes it a little quieter, isn't it? It is obvious, again, that the Hebrews had something, a ministry that God was pleased with. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10 indicates that there is a gift or a giving from God, an unction we used to say, that comes from God for the performance of whatever ministry that there may be. He says in 1 Peter chapter 4 verse number 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so what? Minister the same. The same what? The gift. God gave you something. Gave you something that can be used, that can be utilized. And he said, whatever that gift was, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So notice, if you will, that this gift is that ministry. That ministry that I have comes from God. It originates with God. It begins with a gift that He gives to me. And with that gift, then, I am to minister to others. That makes me kind of a pass-through. I'm a valve, as it were. How many of you have a valve at home, right outside your home, that keeps the water from flowing all the time? And when you turn that valve a certain way, what does it do? It waters the grass. It cleans the sidewalk. When you turn it the other way, what does it do? It doesn't do anything. God has made us a valve. And that valve, when it is opened by God, ought to be doing something for more than ourselves. My life is not measured in what I accomplish for me. My life, as far as God's concerned, is not great if I believe I'm great. My life is not great in the eyes of God if I accomplish something that I can brag about, that I can boast about. My life is only measured in terms of relative greatness by God when the valve is open and the ministry flows to other people. But he says here that every man hath received the gift. So I want you to understand right up front tonight, and we won't cover all this, as I said, in 1 week, but I want you to understand God has been faithful and given you something that biblically can be considered a gift. We're going to look at some of those parameters of the gifts. I find people that have gifts and their gifts are so wonderful that they just swell up and they just look around and they look with one another and they get so proud. They get proud as a peacock. And boy, it isn't long till they're not even in church anymore because their ministry has. Let me help you with that. That's not a ministry. That is an allurement of the devil to get you away from the things that God would have you to be. So understand, a ministry is never going to cause me to be less faithful to the basic functions of a Christian. You got that? Write that down. Be profitable to you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Now, we can emphasize let him speak, or we can emphasize let him speak as the oracles of God. How many of you see where we put the emphasis makes all the difference in the world? If any man minister, here it is, let him do it as of the ability which God what? Give it. So if I have a talent, if I have an ability, if I have a gift, where does it come from? It comes from God. Does that allow me then to be boastful in it? Does that allow me to be puffed up because I can do something that you can't? No, not at all. Because that gift, that ministry, that ability to serve the Lord in a particular capacity always comes from God. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Never forget, you and I are earthen vessels. You say, well, I have a talent. You can tell sometimes by the way people say that, that they actually genuinely believe it's theirs. Oh, well, I have this talent, you know. Well, God gave me this talent. It's always the emphasis is on me in both of those statements. But the understanding here is that God gave me the gift. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in, underline it please, all things. Not just in the thing that he gave me. Quiet in here tonight. Well, you see, I have this talent, and I use my talent to glorify God. Well, listen, if you're glorifying God with your talent and you're failing and faltering in basic Christian 101, God didn't give you that talent. Are we following? I'm hoping. I don't want to lose you this early. This is really pretty good if you hang on till the end. I think it'll be a blessing to you and maybe be a help to you. He said this, he said, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Notice that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So if I've been given a gift of God and I use that in ministry, how much credit will I get? None. See that? Are you following along? Isn't it amazing that we're willing to step in, to do, to participate, to be involved, to function with, as long as I'm going to get some credit? That's not of God. Every talent God gives is to bring Him glory. Every ability that God imparts is to be utilized so that He gets the honor, so that He gets the glory. Now, it may be tempting to take that glory. Okay? How many of you remember the story of Uzzah? Huh? Uzzah, they took the Ark of the Covenant and they put it there in the house there of Obed-Edom and they left it there. And as they decided to bring it to Jerusalem after the place for it had been prepared, they began to bring it. They put it on a cart. We know the story. They weren't supposed to do that. They were supposed to carry it. They were supposed to put it on the shoulders of the priests. And as they were coming on the cart, the Bible says that the things begin to rock, and old Uzzah reaches out so that the Ark of the Covenant won't fall off the cart. I mean, you understand, that's a good thing. What would have happened had the thing fallen off? But what happens to Uzzah? Bam, he's gone. You don't find God saying, oops, I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't understand. God said, hey, don't touch it. You touch it, you die. End of story. God's pretty particular when it comes to protecting what belongs to Him. So if I have a gift, if I have a ministry, where does it come from? Then I better be careful about, number one, remembering where it came from. And number two, remembering that it is for the honor and glory of God, and I'm not to touch it. Are we moving along well tonight? I don't want to scare you out of having a gift in ministry. I think we ought to be in ministry. But I think sometimes if we're not careful, our ministry becomes the end result of our destruction. All you need to do is smile at some people and they're like a balloon, you know, just a little praise. And then a little more praise. And then a little more praise. And then before long, it's... What happens? We don't understand this whole aspect of ministry. You say, well, I think you have to be a good Christian. No, 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 let me help you with that. Let me tell you, fellow, here, let me read the verse to you. Acts chapter 1:17. Here's what it says about this guy. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. That's Judas Iscariot. So you understand, my having been given a ministry or a gift to serve the Lord with doesn't mean that I have elevated in stature, that I have become greater than I might still be a stinking Judas at heart. You say, why is that important? Because I want always to realize in ministry that what I can do for the Lord, what He gives me the opportunity or the ability to do, is all Him. And if it's done right and it's done well and if it's pleasing to God and if it's edifying to the saints, all of that is because of Him. But if it's messed up, And it makes me proud. And it makes me feel better than everybody else. And it makes me protective of my ministry. That's not of God. Simple and plain. It's not Him. You say, well, this is not fun yet. Well, it'll get a little worse. And then it'll get a little better. But notice, if you will, before you put your thumbs in your lapel, say, well, I've been given this gift of God. So did Judas Iscariot. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 5. Paul again teaching Timothy, instructing Timothy, just prior to Paul's execution. And he says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and then underline the next six words, if you would. Make full proof of thy ministry. Now, I know Timothy was a preacher, but not all ministry is preaching. I know that Timothy was a young preacher. Paul was an aged preacher. But that's not the only gift that there is. That's not the only ministry that there is. God gives to individuals ministries to serve Him and to serve others. And if they become self-serving, they lose their ability to honor God. So, what are we talking about? Oswald Chambers said years ago, God buries His men and women in the midst of paltry things. No monuments are erected to them. They are ignored, not because they are unworthy, but because they're in the place where they cannot be seen. Someone said a good ministry is a place God gives you to hide from the world so that He can be seen. Simply put, if you pull into the place to get your car fixed, the more oil and grease the mechanic has on his hands and on his coat and on his shirt, probably the better mechanic he is. Right? I don't want the guy over here in a three-piece vested suit and a nice tie. I don't want that guy to work on my car. I want the guy that's up to his elbows. Why? He doesn't stand out. But it is obvious that what he's doing is effective and powerful. So finding that ministry, what is it that God wants? Well, in the Old Testament, we understand the priesthood had the ability to minister to the Lord. But it was not just the priesthood of the Old Testament that were given that ability to minister. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. It tells us again in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, down through there, that God hath made us kings and priests unto our God. Therefore, if God has made us kings and priests, as a priest, we ought to minister to and minister for the Lord. Young people, you ought to have a ministry. Moms and dads, you ought to have a ministry. Unmarried boys and girls, young men and young ladies, you ought to have a ministry. God has the ability to give you a ministry. You say, well, I already have mine, thank you. I'll bet you don't, if that's your attitude. You see, that's counter to what we find out about ministry as God imparts it to us. Let me give you a list of some ministries that I believe are vital in a local church, vital in ministering to the saints and God's people. And when I talk about a ministry, this may not be the complete list, but it'll give you an idea where we're going. Number one, write it down, faithfulness. You know, being faithful is a ministry. Meaning what? It's not what it does for you. It's not how it makes you look. It's what it does in the life of other people. How many of you want your spouse to be faithful? I rest my case. You see, somebody being faithful is a blessing to me. The ministry of faithfulness. Do you understand when you're here, when you're supposed to be here, when you attend church regularly and faithfully, that's why we call it faithfulness. That's a ministry to other people. That's an encouragement to other people. You say, why? Because I know how hard it is for us to grasp this, but other people have problems. problems and scheduling conflicts just like you do. Now, I know their job and their life is not nearly as important as yours is. But we're not any different. We have, all of us, other places we could be. Sometimes other places we'd like to be. Sometimes when the preacher's not on, some places we wish we had been. You say, well, why do I have to sit here and endure this? Because you're ministering. You're ministering to other people. You're ministering to your teenagers. You're ministering to your children. You're ministering to the lost people that walked in and sat down across the aisle from you. You're ministering to them. It is a minute. Faithfulness is a ministry. Write this one down. Kindness is a ministry. Kindness is a ministry. You say, well, you're not very kind. Well, that's not my ministry. It has to be a grumpy in every set of dwarfs or whatever they were, you know. Kindness. Let me give you another one. Helpfulness. How many of you have ever had a need and somebody was helpful in your need? You understand, these are people who, if they do their ministry, you never forget them, but God gets the glory. Cheerfulness, a pacifier. That's what we give to kids so they won't do what? Scream and cry. You know what a pacifier is? Somebody that can cheer you up. And you say, well, what is it? That's a gift. That's a gift of God. That's just the way it should be. That is a, not everybody can do that. Some people might laugh at you that you're not really, you know, cheering them up in that sense. They might just be laughing at you. You get what I'm saying. Let me give you another one. Hopefulness. Hopefulness. Well, you know what a tremendous gift that is to sit down next to somebody that says, I have no reason to live. I have nothing left to look for, forward to. It's all over. And to give them some hope. You understand how valuable that is? We say, Lord, help me to change lives while I sit here in this pew and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Just let it emanate from me. And no, it's a ministry. You may not have that gift. Giving is a gift. Sacrifice is a gift. People say, well, I don't have any friends. Well, start giving. I think that's a good way to start. If you don't know what your gift is, start there. Because most of the time we do have a little money. Take them to McDonald's. If you want them to be your friend, don't take them to McDonald's. Take them somewhere else that they will remember and they will... you say, well, I don't believe you can buy friends. It would help you. Trust me, you'd have more than you got. You say, well, that's just... Listen, you know you run into Mr. Right or Miss Right and you know what you do? You try to impress them. You take them out to eat. You take them to the nice places. You say, why? I want to make an impression. I want to be someone who can let them know I'm a giver. Sacrifice. Leadership is a gift. It's a ministry. We say, well, you just get to be the leader. That's like the guy, he doesn't have to do anything. The leader is not a position of the guy that doesn't do anything. Okay? The leader is the guy that gets everything organized so everything gets done and nobody gets killed in the meantime. We might call him a planner, a director. The guy standing in the intersection when the light's out going this way is the leader. He also could get killed doing what he's doing. It is a ministry sometimes to be a leader. An organizer. Somebody who can start from the beginning and come to the end and formulate a plan and lay it out. Step one, step two, step three, and bring relative ease to what could have been chaotic is a real blessing. If you don't believe that, have a pastor's school sometime. And watch how much easier it is when this gets delegated here and this gets delegated over here. And I don't have to worry about that because somebody's going to take care of that. Somebody's going to take care of this. And how much of a blessing that becomes. when somebody is an organizer or a uniter, can pull people together. I got a couple, two, three more. A comforter. A comforter. Boy, somebody can walk into a funeral home and provide comfort. Somebody that's standing at the hospital bed when you wake up and find out that the surgery didn't go well is a comforter. The ability to shift focus from my troubles to the goodness of God is a comforter. A mentor or a teacher is a ministry. You don't believe that? Go down and help the ladies and men that teach down there in the Sunday school every week. They're mentoring. They're trying to bring those children along. And very often they do it because with children that come from dysfunctional homes. I didn't say divorced homes. I said dysfunctional. That's usually both parents living at home. Sometimes it's a hard task. And they take those boys and girls week after week after work, and they stand in the class and they say, okay, Jesus wept. Okay, we got it. We memorized the verse. And sometimes that's the way that it works. But over a course of time, over years, when that little child finishes and gets ready to get married and all at once realizes, I already know 75 verses of Scripture by heart. That's a ministry, a caregiver. A caregiver to someone that is sick or an invalid, something along that line, an elderly parent. To give care is a gift. And if you've been there, you know it requires a gift to do it. Musicians, people that sing. Matter of fact, if they don't have that gift, you usually know about it pretty quickly. You said, well, I'm not the best in the world. I just want to stand up and praise God. Well, find another way to praise God. One that's not so offensive to people with good hearing. You say, well, that offends me. I just believe anybody can serve God. No, anybody can't serve God any way they want to serve God. My job in life is to find where God has given me a gift and to use the gift that I have to bring glory to Him. He may or may not give me another gift. And it would be wrong for me to step over the boundaries and say, this is what I'm going to do for God. You'll never have it right. Because to every man's given a gift. I'll give you another one. Modesty. Modesty in the way we dress. Somebody said, well, you know, you have these requirements. We don't have any. We don't have any dress code. Okay. The big argument this year's pastor school kind of do preachers need to wear ties when they preach? That's what's coming around now in independent, fundamental, Bible-believing churches. You say, what does that mean? It means in 5 years, nobody will be wearing a tie. You say, well, show me in the Bible. I can't. But I'll tell you what, if you walk into the bank with me dressed like this, I'll bet I know who gets the best service. You say, why? Respect. I think the job of a pastor and the job of a fellow that serves the Lord is to command respect of God's people and to look as is befitting a servant of God. You say, no, I don't have any Bible. But modesty ministers. We'll cover it. Ladies, I think ladies ought to dress like ladies. Well, you just, you, no, listen. The Bible said, whoso looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed what? Adultery. Already in his heart. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible for one person to commit adultery? What does it require? Well, then if he's committed adultery because of the way you dress, so have you. He in Scripture is called a whoremonger. I won't tell you what you're called if you choose not to dress the way. Now, I'm not going to give you a dress code. I'm not going to say this is it. That's not my job. But it is my job to tell you that God still has standards of deportment and decorum for us as believers. And part of the ministry of a man is to be respectable. Part of the ministry of a woman is to be beautiful without being enticing. So ladies, when you dress right, you're ministering to men. You can make it so he doesn't look to lust. Hello? We're just introduction here. I thought it was a pretty good introduction myself. What in the world does this mean? It means that we ought to have that ministry, ought to realize that there are a number of places and areas where we minister, and all of us, I don't care who you are, if you're saved, God has a ministry for you, a purpose for your life, an accomplishment that can be yours for His honor and glory. Something, I might be bold and say it, something you can do that no one else can do. Pity the individual that spends their entire life dabbling and never finding purpose. Grasping something that appeals to them and allowing it to use that as a vehicle to get completely out of the will of God. That's not what we want. Pastors, missionaries, evangelists, deacons, teachers, all are under that idea of individuals in ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 12 talks about that ministry. It says it is for the perfecting of the saints. Somebody said last week at pastor school, I'm glad it said perfecting. Because if it said for the perfection, we could quit. Not gonna happen. The job of ministry of a preacher is the perfecting of the saints. His job is to encourage you along the way so that you become more Christ-like, so that your walk is closer to Him. The apostles were ministers. In Acts chapter 6, verse number 4, as they came and said that the widows were not being ministered unto in the church. How many of you understand it was a real problem? They said, we've got all these widows and they're starving to death and there's enough people here if people would get busy. And you know what the apostles said? We'll drop what we're doing and go right after it. You know what they said? It's not our ministry. You say, how uncaring and mean. No, you don't get it. They had another ministry that was to occupy them and occupy their time. And they said, you find some guys that the Holy Spirit, they give the parameters and you put them over this business. And it's our job to give ourselves continually to the word and prayer. What does that mean? That means those apostles understood the idea that ministry was something that was given by God as a gift and carried responsibility. Now, if our Bible in Acts chapter 6 had said, they come and they said the widows are being neglected in the daily ministration and they're not getting fed. And the next verse said, and so the apostles left what they were doing and began to distribute food to everybody. They bought food trucks and before long they had fed every hungry person in Jerusalem. You and I would be tempted to look at that and say, wow, that's great. But it wasn't what God called them to do. And it doesn't matter how successful I am at what I'm doing if it's not what God called me to do. How many of you follow that? So, the apostles understood the impact of ministry. Joshua, the Bible says, over in Exodus chapter 24, verse 13, and Moses rose up. I love this passage. And Moses rose up and his minister, Joshua. How many of you know Joshua wasn't qualified to be a priest? Wrong tribe. But he was a minister. What was his ministry? Taking care of Moses. It was his job. It's what God called him to do. It's what God laid upon his heart. Mark, over in Acts chapter 12, verse 25, we talk about Barnabas and Saul. The Bible says they returned from Jerusalem, and when they had fulfilled their ministry, they took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So John Mark accompanies them, goes with them on the missionary. You say, what was he doing? He was ministering to them. He met their needs. You say, what did he do? I don't know. I suppose maybe he carried their bags. I don't know what he did. But what he did, he was ministering. God put him in that place of ministering to them so that they in turn could do what? minister to others. Everybody has a ministry. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, listen to this. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they, who's the they? The household of Stephanas. What's a household? A family. A mom, a dad, kids, the household of Stephanas, the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Here's a whole household, a family that had a ministry. And that ministry was to the household of faith. So what are you saying? I'm saying that if you don't have a ministry, or you're not part of a family ministry, or you're not involved, there is a ministry there for you. You say, well, you know, I don't believe God gives everybody. Whoop, wait a minute before you embarrass yourself. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18 says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us, what are the next four words? The ministry of reconciliation. Don't say God never gave me a ministry. I know you got one. How are you doing with that? Every believer has a ministry. Over in 1 Samuel, chapter 2, you find some unusual circumstances. Listen to this verse in 1 Samuel chapter 2. I'll get it in a minute. Verse number 11. And Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house. Who in the world's he talking about? And the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Who's he talking about? Samuel, the little boy. Just a little fella. You know what he was doing? He was ministering. He had been given a gift. And that gift was to minister to that old man of God. You say, well, I not much wiggle room here for excuse, is there? A lot of people, a lot of ministries. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 10, the idea of Isaiah is you've messed up, you've turned away from God, you've thrown away everything he's given you, and he's going to get you. He's going to nail you. He's going to send other kings in here. They're going to invade your land. They're going to turn this place upside down. You're going to pay for your sinfulness. And then it's like God hesitates for a minute in Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 10. And you know how the Lord is. He can't leave us without hope. Listen to Isaiah 60, 10. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. You know what God said? He said, you know these same kings that are killing your kids and burning down your houses and stealing everything you got? You know what? I'm going to make them minister to you. So don't sit there and say, well, I just don't have a ministry. Listen, God gave a heathen king a ministry. God gave a little boy a ministry. Everybody has a ministry. As a matter of fact, when the Lord talked to the disciples in Matthew chapter 20, verse number 26, they were arguing about who would be the greatest. Remember that? You know what the Lord said? But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Greatness in the eyes of God is not my achievement. It's my helpfulness. It's my ministry. You go through life and you win all the awards and all the accolades and never minister, then keep your awards and your accolades, because it's an awful lonely place and you'll have something to read. It's about ministering. Friends are a ministry. Acts 24, verse 23, And he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or to come to him. When Paul's locked up in the Hoosgow, the magistrate tells them not to forbid him meeting with his friends. Why? Because even the magistrate knew Paul needed somebody to minister to him. A ministry. Here's one I know you won't buy. Political authorities. President Trump is a minister. And so is Nancy Pelosi. Romans 13, verse number 4 says, for he, maybe not Nancy, found a nugget in the Greek. For he is the minister, watch this, of God to thee for good. You know what Romans says? It says that God put those political guys in your life as a blessing to you. Political authorities. As a matter of fact, an entire congregation can minister. Romans 15, 27 says, it hath pleased them, verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. A whole congregation could look around and say, God has blessed us, and God has helped us, and God has supplied our need. That means there is a duty for us then to minister to others that might not have what God's given to us. I'm about to wrap that part of it, this part of it up. How about this? Just other individuals. Colossians 1:7 says, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Colossians 4:7 says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 2 says, I sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. There are numerous individuals in the scripture whose names we know, some whose names we're not real sure of or don't remember. But the one thing they all have in common is that God had given them a ministry. They did not all stand behind a pulpit on Sunday morning. Some of them poured water into a basin so Paul could wash his hands. Some of them cared for the needs of widows in the assembly who were unable to care for themselves. Some were encouraging, some were helping, some, all of those very things. You say, what is that? That's ministry. When we say this ministry, when we talk about Hope Baptist Church and we say this ministry, we're not talking about the preacher. We're not talking about only the preaching of the Word of God. We're talking about all of the challenges and all of the objectives that God has given us, each and every one, a part of, to accomplish on the whole what none of us alone could ever accomplish. You say, well, I don't have much to give. Well, I bet God's got somebody who can give more. You say, well, I'm just not gifted with talking in public. Well, I bet God's got some people that are gifted to talk in public. You say, well, I'm just not really good singing. Maybe God's got somebody that can sing. Let me ask you the question, what is it that God has given you, and how are you doing with that? We can look around and say, well, it's just not fair. I didn't get that gift. Yeah, but you've got one. And I'm in probability going to make a boast. In all probability, if you're upset and angry because somebody else has got the gift you wish you had, you probably are not using the gift God gave you. Which means you've become a liability rather than a blessing. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. This is where ministry begins. Taking my hands off of me, not trying to tell God what my many, many talents are, not trying to tell God exactly where He should use me for the greater accomplishment. It is presenting my body a living sacrifice. Whatever you want. Holy, acceptable unto God, watch this, which is your reasonable service. You realize you get heaven for eternity after this? Well, I don't know why I should have to suffer in this world. Because this world is just a small, minute little drop in a very, very small, tiny little bucket compared to where you and I are going to spend eternity. If I said, you know, listen, I'm going to put my hands over your eyes for just a second so you can't see this, but I'm going to give you a great gift. Wouldn't bother you. God's put you here in this little drop of water just for a second so you can endure a few things and you can cry a few tears and you can minister in those difficulties, because to be honest with you, when the trumpet blows, I don't know how fast we go out of here, but I know we travel fast enough to pass through solid objects. How about that? I know that up there in those ceiling tiles and bulkheads and lights and all that stuff, they're all made of atoms. And the greater portion of atoms is just empty space. So technically, if you went fast enough, all your atoms got in sync, they could go through those other atoms without colliding with anything. If you could just achieve that velocity. And all it takes for that velocity to be achieved is the trumpet of God and the voice that says, come up hither. And we're gone. Gone out of here. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. May I submit to you that my finding, developing, utilizing my ministry requires some things, and that is I can't be preoccupied with the world. Be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man. And in the original Greek is every man. It's impressive, isn't it? That means every man. Okay, that's everybody here. Okay, just don't want any. Those original words are sometimes hard to fathom. To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. And everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhorting. He comes through the list of these gifts and ministries. But you know what he says there? He said, we've all got one. We've all got one. I don't think getting to heaven, the hard part is going to have to be answering for my sins. How many of you know while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? How many of you understand when he died on the cross, he already paid for all of our sins? You're not going to commit a sin, even as a Christian, that's going to surprise God. I don't think we're going to get to heaven and the Lord's going to go, what in the world did you do that? Why did you do that? I can't look at this. You did this and that. I think the embarrassment of heaven is going to be God saying, what'd you do with the talent I gave you? You say, I don't believe that. Oh, well, wait a minute. There's a parable in there about the Lord coming and dealing with his servants to whom he had imparted talents. And the question is, what'd you do with the talents? What did you do with that ministry God gave you? What are you doing? Well, we're going to look a little bit at some of these next week, these ministries we've talked about. But let me give you some necessary traits for being successful. First of all, write them down. We'll not talk about them tonight. We'll talk about them later on. Faithfulness, dependability. Faithfulness, dependability. There's no point in God giving me anything to do if he can't count on me to do it. There's no point in you and I having anything to do for God if we're hit and miss at best. Because the devil can orchestrate all of the events so that when we're most necessary, we'll miss. Faithfulness, dependability. Secondly, humility and teachability. Sometimes our gift, if we're not careful, can take us further away from the things of God because it makes us proud. And when we become proud, we're no longer teachable. We're no longer humble. How many of you remember the story in the scripture of Apollos? Apollos. He was a gifted orator. But he was all messed up doctrinally. And somebody had to set down this learned individual and say, Apollos, you got this all wrong. Let me help you. Now, let me ask you a question. If somebody came over and slid in next to you and said, listen, your Christian life stinks. Let me help you. Don't tell me you wouldn't be tempted to look at them and slap them, hit them, walk out, whatever. You know what made Apollos great? By the end of the book, they're bragging on Apollos. He was a great help to the Apostle Paul. You say, why? Because he was humble and he's teachable. He said, well, I want to minister so much that if I've got it wrong, show me what's wrong and I'll. That's a requirement if you're going to utilize that gift. Number next, determination and a willingness to sacrifice. It's not about going on till you get 7 gold stars and then you get your badge of accomplishment and then you get 3 badges of accomplishment and then you get your little certificate. You can hang on the wall and you got it. That's not it at all. There's got to be some sacrifice involved. Not just in gaining that ministry, but in maintaining that ministry. It has to be some spirituality. The ability to be led by the Spirit. And may I add to that, to be under the authority of the Spirit. And those that the Spirit's put in my life. Pliability. Again, another trait of Apollos. A willingness to hit it, running as hard as he could go in love with Jesus, but going the wrong direction. And somebody saying, whoa, 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 Apollos, listen. Let's look at some verses here. And Apollos doesn't jump up and down and say, I have more education than you have. He said, thanks for straightening me out. I want to be used. Without that, we'll never minister. Requires us to be sacrificial and willing to give our time. It requires us to become well-rounded and balanced. On-off people are dangerous. You say, well, I'm either bubbly or I'm screaming. Then you're not ever going to have a ministry. There's got to be some consistency. Why? You're not going to help the guy that you lose it and take their head off. You say, well, you don't understand. I understand this. You will too. Get a grip. You say, why? Because you can't be used if you don't. Hello? How many of you ever heard the phrase, enough to make a preacher cuss? Aren't you glad he doesn't do that on Sunday? What would you think if he got up on Sunday morning and just went right down the line? You think everybody would come back maybe to see him get fired or whatever it would be the next week? You understand your ability to minister diminishes when you lose it. Are we having fun yet? One more. Loyalty. Loyalty to those around me. We're all in the same body. We're all members of the same body. There's got to be some loyalty. Meaning what? That leaves out pride. Okay? He gives such a wonderful story over there when he talks about the body and he talks about if all were an ear, you know, if the whole body were an ear or a foot. And I've told the story about the smaller parts of the body require more attention. And I've used the illustration of stubbing your little toe in the dark on your way to the restroom. Jobbing that rascal right underneath the door that you thought was open and it wasn't. Do you ever notice that your whole body becomes a symphony? Your fingers hurt. Your fingernails hurt, if there can be such a thing. Why? They're all simpatico. They're all in sympathy with the other parts of the body. I'll tell you what will destroy a church. It's when people don't find their ministry and they make up their ministry. And as a result, they get out of sync with the body. And people say, well, they don't care when I'm hurting. Listen, you've distanced yourself. You're no longer the little toe. You've pulled back. Your job was to minister. You know what a little toe does? A little toe does what little toes do. And if a little toe does exactly what little toes are supposed to do, a little toe very rarely is even noticed. But boy, when a little toe gets jobbed underneath the door or somebody drops something heavy on the little toe, it will get noticed in a hurry and the rest of the body is all in sync. But if it doesn't stop hurting before long, the body's going to get sick and tired of it. And the body's going to wrap that rascal up and it's going to go to the doctor and say, whack that thing off. I didn't need it when I had it. I'll get along just fine without it. Just take it off. It's not necessary to my living. We've got to learn to be in sync with the rest of the body. That's an introduction. I hope it was a good introduction because next week, or next time I speak, I should say that, unless John wants to take this next week and his head is just all full of wonderful stuff. We'll go down that road. I want to look at some of those minutes. I want to help you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, find out what you can do. And you say, well, I already know where my talent. God may not want your talent. Your talent may be too much ingrained in your pride. And God may not want you to do what you're absolutely the best at. He may not want you to do what would come without any effort at all. God may want to give you a ministry that will cause you to struggle. That'll put you on your knees praying and crying and saying, God, I don't know how to do this. You say, why? Because that's God's way of ministering to you so you can minister to others. So we'll look at it next time. All right, let's stand to our feet. You've got the overview. Got all the notes. Memorize them. There will be a test. I don't know when, but somewhere.